Parshas Vayigash in Perek Memhei Pasuk Yud Dalet. Vayipaku al Tzavrei Binyamin Ochiv, and Yosef fell upon the neck of his brother Binyamin. Vayeik, and he cried. And in turn, Binyamin bocha al Tzavarov. So too, Binyamin cried upon the neck of his brother Yosef. This is, of course, following the dramatic reunion between Yosef and his brothers, and the Torah describes that Yosef embraced his own immediate brother Binyamin and cried, and in turn Binyamin cried as well upon the neck of his brother Yosef. So Rashi says on Pasuk Yudalas, what were they crying about? Perhaps a strange question. What were they crying about? This is a very emotional reunion. His only brother, Binyamin's only brother, Yosef, they were crying. A very moving moment in their lives. And Rashi says, no. Al shnei mikdashos. The reason why Yosef was crying, he was crying with regard to the two bote mikdash. She'asidon liyois bechelkoi shel Binyamin, that were destined to be in the portion of Binyamin in Eretz Yisrael, the Seifon Lehicharev, and they were going to end up being destroyed. So Rashi says, apparently they were not crying because of this emotional reunion, but rather he was crying, Yosef, because he could see with Ruach HaKodesh that in the future there would be a Beis HaMikdash, and then another Beis HaMikdash, and the Chelek of Binyamin, it would be destroyed, and he was crying about that. So I saw in a sefer Mayim Beis HaSheiva, which is Rav Shvar from America, he quotes Hagoyim Rav Mordechai Pogromansky. Rav Mordechai Pogromansky was one of the great pre-war and eventually post-war Goyini Europe, very close to the Briskarov, and he's coming to explain the question that almost doesn't need to be asked: is why is Rashi not explaining the Poshut Pshat? The simple understanding is they cry because this is a very moving moment. They haven't seen each other for a number of years, and now that finally they had remet, they had become reunited, they were crying. No, says Rashi, they were crying about the Beis HaMikdash, first and second, that was going to be destroyed. So he says, he explains in the following very fascinating way. He says, have you ever wondered to yourself, why indeed is it that when one has a moment of ecstasy, of tremendous simcha, simcha gedoyla ma'oid, one indeed cries? It's a very strange thing. Crying we normally associate with sadness, with pain, disappointment. And here we have the exact opposite of that. It's not sad. It's not pain. To the contrary, it's simcha. Tremendous simcha, and that brings tears as well. Very strange. Very, very strange phenomenon. So he says a fascinating pshat. He says, Chazal tell us, when the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, arrived in this world, Beis HaMikdash was built, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina, as it were, descended upon Olam HaZeh. That then became the Makayr, the source of all Simcha in the world. In fact, the Pasuk writes in Tehillim, the Beis HaMikdash is described as Mesois Kol Ha'aretz. Mesois Kol Ha'aretz. Mesois, the lashon of suffering the Simcha. This is the Simcha of all of Eretz Yisrael. This is the Makayr, the source of all Simcha in the world that exists. It emanates from the Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the whole life source of Simcha has now been cut off. And it was replaced by the opposite, which is Tsar. To the contrary, there is no Shechina, there is no Gilui Ponim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To the contrary, there's Hesed Ponim. Therefore, the initial Simcha that found its root in the Beis HaMikdash was replaced by Tsar. And what remained was very small pockets, an island of occasional moments of simcha in a person's life. Whereas in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, one had a constant source and connection to Simcha, i.e. the Beit HaMikdash. But once that was destroyed, then the real source of Simcha no longer existed, and rather one has these little islands. You can imagine a tiny little island in the Pacific Ocean, surrounded by miles upon miles upon miles of water, with a little pocket in the middle of Simcha. So he explains that when a person indeed finds himself on that island, i.e. he is going through a tremendously moving and happy, ecstatic moment in his life, then the Simcha, which is very, very limited, this small island, once the Simcha is, as it were, spills over, it's really crossing the border. Crossing the border into where? Into the surrounding yam of Tsar. Meaning, essentially, we live in a world devoid of Simcha. We live in a world, unfortunately, when there's no Beit HaMikdash, and therefore it's a world of Tsar, of pain, of disappointment, of no Simcha, and of crying. When a person finds himself in a moment of Simcha, so if it's small Simcha, he doesn't cry. You hear a little joke, for example, so you laugh out of Simcha, you don't cry. But at a very, very enormous Simcha, you've crossed the border. You've expanded the Simcha further than its boundaries really allow. And you've ended up in the world around your little island, which is the world of Tsar. And that's why you cry. Because you've ended up in the world of tears. That's how he explains it. Phenomenal thing. So he says, therefore, it turns out that if you want to know why are you crying as a result of Simcha, the answer is that it's a direct result of the fact that we don't have a Beit HaMikdash. Because if we would have a Beit HaMikdash, then how big would this island of Simcha be? It would be limitless. In fact, the whole world would be this island of Simcha. Because you have a Beit HaMikdash. When you don't have a Beit HaMikdash and you live in a little, tiny little place called this island of Simcha, which if you just step one foot outside of it, you end up in the world of Tsar, so we must therefore know, we cry when it comes to great Simcha as a direct result of a lack of a Beit HaMikdash. And he therefore explains so beautifully, that's what this Rashi means. When Yosef meets Binyamin, and Binyamin meets Yosef, and they fall upon each other's neck, and they hug it, and embrace, and they cry. And Rashi says, why are they crying? Because the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. We said, why can't Rashi just explain in a simple way, they cry because this is a very emotional moment. The answer is, that's the same thing. When a moment becomes emotional, you should know the reason why that brings oneself to tears is precisely because of the fact that there's going to be a Beit HaMikdash which is destroyed. If a Beit HaMikdash would not be destroyed, then a person could be ever surrounded with Simcha, could always connect himself to Simcha. The lack of Simcha, and the reason why Simcha brings oneself to tears, brings one to tears, is precisely because we live in a world devoid of the Beit HaMikdash. We have a little pocket, small little island of Simcha, but once you cross the border, you end up in the huge surrounding world of Tsar. That's how he explains. It's interesting, by the way, I think this is pointed out, the word for tear. What's the word in Lashon HaKodesh for a tear? Dimo. Umoch Hashem Elokim, dimo me'al kol ponim. A dimo is a tear. The word dimo actually means a mixture from the word dimua. The Lord Mishnayos talks about truma being mixed up with cholel and calls it a dimua, a mixture. So we understand very well that's exactly what a tear is. A tear could in fact be this very mixture. When a person feels on the one hand this feeling of ecstasy and joy and simcha, but that then necessarily veers off into a tsar because you don't have a Beit HaMikdash. So every dimo is in fact a dimua, a mixture of the two. In the next pasuk, in pasuk Tezvot, Vayenashek lekol echot, Vayetzk aleihem. It says he kissed all his brothers upon their reunion, and he cried upon them. The Medrash says as follows. Just as Yosef is reunited with his brothers through crying, so too, says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be goyel, will redeem Klal Yisrael when Mashiach comes, similarly through crying. Very, very strange comparison over here. Again, just as Yosef reunites with his brothers through tears and sadness, or not sadness, joy that brought to tears and crying, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem Klal Yisrael, the Osid Lavoi, when the Beis HaMikdash is finally rebuilt, again, through crying and through tears. Very, very, very bizarre. Why on earth are Klal Yisrael crying when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt? Surely they should be ecstatic, they should be with much joy. Why is there crying? So the Ktav Sefer explains in the following very profound and very important way. Yosef HaTzadik is torn apart from his brothers, from his father, from his entire family, and is sold as a slave. He's hit rock bottom. And undoubtedly was in much pain and sadness as a result of not being connected anymore with his family. But then his life took a whole turn and he becomes appointed as the Melech of Mitzrayim. And he's been there now a number of years. A number of years. And slowly but surely he begins, as it were, to disconnect and forget and no longer miss to the same extent that he did in the beginning his brothers, his father, and his family. Eventually they become reunited and all of Yosef's brothers are reintroduced to him. So Yosef HaTzadik cries. Why does he cry? Not only does he cry because he's so excited to see them, but he cries and he thinks, wow, this is what I could have had all these years, and I didn't even miss it. And I didn't even miss it. That itself is a reason to cry. That itself is a reason to cry. Says the Ktav Sefer, do you know what our problem is in Golos? We're comfortable. Once a year, Tisha B'Av, if we're lucky, we hear a shiur about the Inyan of the Beis HaMikdash, and we try and connect and tap once again into the whole Inyan of the Beis HaMikdash, and then we move along with the summer vacation, and life moves along merrily. When the Beis HaMikdash will eventually be rebuilt, why will there be crying? We said, L'chayel, there should be tremendous joy. Undoubtedly, there will be. Do you know what the crying will be? The crying is, look what we have now. We could have had it before. We never even missed it. We never had Karbonis. We never had Koyanim. We didn't have a Beis HaMikdash. We didn't have the Shechina. We didn't have the Yel Regel. Simchas Beis HaShe'eva. All the things that the Beis HaMikdash will bring us. Not only didn't we have it, that's bad enough, but we didn't miss it. That, says the Ktav Sefer, is the comparison between Yosef's reunion with his brothers, when he cries upon the realization that, you know, I haven't had my family around me, but I haven't missed it. That's more tragic still. So too when the Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and we'll think to ourselves, you know, look what we've been missing out upon. We thought that our tefillahs were tefillahs, and we thought that our Yomim Tovim were Yomim Tovim, and we thought that our mitzvahs were mitzvahs, but without the Beit HaMikdash we only realize now that they were nothing in comparison to what they could be when you have the Beis HaMikdash and the Shechina, and yet we didn't miss it. We were all too comfortable in Golos. That's why there's crying. That's why there's crying. And if you look later on in Pasuk Choftes, Perek Memvov, Pasuk Choftes, it says, Vayesk al Savorov Oid. Yosef HaTzadik cried Oid again. And Rashi there says, what does it mean he cried more Oid? Loshen Harbois Bebechia. Not just he cried a lot. the Ksav Sefer explains there again. What that means is, really, this was a double-barreled crying. On the one hand, the crying, Mitzvah Simcha, but on the other hand, the crying, the fact that, look, I finally reunited with my father, and I cannot even say with honesty that I've missed him to the extent that I should have. That's why I'm crying. That's why I'm crying. It's interesting, Chazal points out, and Rashi quotes this, that all of Yosef's brothers never drank wine. All the years that Yosef was separated from them, they never drank wine. When they became reunited now, and he offered them wine, now they drank wine. And Rashi pointed out, now for the first time. So the Ksav Sefer explains, that's what it means, the pasuk that we said before. Vayesk Yosef Aleihem, he cried upon them. Why is the Torah emphasizing that he cried upon them? Didn't they cry in return upon him? Says the Ksav Sefer, of course they did, but they've been crying the whole time. There was nothing new. Yosef had this special cry, the fact that I've never been crying till now. That's the Vayesk Yosef Aleihem. They've been mourning me. They haven't drunk wine for years and years and years. Have I been mourning them to the extent that I should have had? That's why I'm crying. That's why I'm crying. Ksav Sefer, in a third place, quotes the Medrash. Quotes the Medrash. This is a Ksav Sefer in Parshas Vayechi. The Medrash says as follows. The pasuk in Eicha that we're all familiar with, we say on Tisha B'Av, Zechayr Hashem Mehoyalonu. Remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look what happened to us. So the Medrash says, Shikcha. What's Shikcha? Forgetting. Metsuya Banu. We have forgotten. Ata Zochar. You, however, please remember. But we've forgotten. So the Ksav Sefer explains what this means is as follows. As you can well imagine, when Klal Yisrael initially saw the Beis HaMikdash in ruins, they cried, they mourned the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Al Naharez Bovel, on the banks of Bovel, Shom Yoshavnu, Gam Bochinu, we sat and we cried. Undoubtedly, they did cry. The problem is that through the years, the tens and then the hundreds and then the thousands of years that Klal Yisrael found themselves in Golus, they're no longer crying. They no longer feel it. And that's what they're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shikcha Mitzuya Bonu. We've forgotten. We no longer feel this pain. And therefore we really ought to be crying even more. The fact that we don't feel the pain. And in conclusion, the Ksav Sefer quotes the Medrash. And the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whenever you see, k'shetehiroya bonecha b'tzar, when you see your children in pain, and there's nobody davening for them, please, I beg you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please tend to them anyway. What does that mean, when you see them in pain? When you see them, why doesn't it just say, when they are in pain, whether you see them or not? Says the Ksav Sefer, this is precisely the point, because occasionally they might well be in pain, but they themselves don't notice it. Klal Yisrael may well be in pain, but the tragedy of the situation is that they themselves don't feel it. So at least, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you see it, although they themselves might not feel it, please look after them nonetheless. It's interesting. If you look in the Navi, in Ezra, look in Sefer Ezra, Perek Gimel. When the second Beit HaMikdash was rebuilt, you can imagine, this was a momentous day in the history of Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk says, there were many Kohenim, Levim, Zakenim, elders of Klal Yisrael, who saw the first Beit HaMikdash. And now that they saw the second, you would have thought they would be absolutely ecstatic. Once again, and it says, Boichim b'koil gadol. They were crying, wailing tremendously. And the reason is because the younger generation, who indeed was so excited with the new Beis HaMikdash, says the older generation, this is what you're happy about? We know what the Beis HaMikdash really looked like. We know what we're missing out on. The tragedy is, you don't even know what you're missing out on. You think that this is the Beis HaMikdash. As we know, the second Beis HaMikdash was not like the first. Because I'll tell us, there were many basic things, five things in the second Beis HaMikdash that didn't exist at all. The Orem and the Vua and the Urim and the Tumim. So do you know why the elders are crying? Because we know what the Beis HaMikdash should really look like, and we're crying precisely because you're the Simcha. Oh, we have a Beis HaMikdash. This is the Beis HaMikdash. This is what we've been waiting 70 years about. That's why we're crying. We're crying precisely because you're the Simcha. There is a phenomenal diuk. A phenomenal diuk. In Parshas Vo'eiro, the Parshas of Mitzrayim that we're approaching soon, if you look in Parshas Vo'eiro, it says as follows. In Perek Vov, Posuk Vov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Klal Yisrael that I'm going to take them out of Sivlois Mitzrayim. Perek Vov, Posuk Vov, it says I'm going to take them out of Sivlois Mitzrayim. What's Sivlois Mitzrayim? From the burden, the pain of Mitzrayim. And how is Sivlois spelt? Samuch, Beit, Lamed, Tov. No Vov. Interestingly enough, it says in the very next Pasuk, I will eventually redeem them. V'yedatem ki ani Hashem elokeichem, I'll give them the Torah, and they will then know that I was the one who took them out of Sivlois Mitzrayim. And all of a sudden, how is it spelled? With a vav. Very next Pasuk. So the Be'er Yosef al HaTorah explained in the most beautiful way. How many Goliaths were there in Mitzrayim? We know, the Farshim explained, there was a physical Golos, but there was also a spiritual Golos. There was a tremendous decline in the Matzav Ruchni, in the spiritual standing of Klal Yisrael. As we know, they sunk to the 49th level of Tumah. Why did Klal Yisrael cry in Mitzrayim? Says, Vayizaku, Vayonchu b'nei Yisrael. They groaned and they cried. Why? Min ho'avoida. It doesn't say anywhere that they cried as a result of their terrible free fall in Ruchnis. It says they wailed and they cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the hard work. In other words, what was happening was they were in pain. Begashmias. They were in pain, beruchnius, but they never felt it. They didn't themselves notice their own decline. So initially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, tell them that I'll release them from Sivlois, without a vav, in the singular. Let them receive the Torah, and then they'll understand in retrospect that actually was Sivlois in the plural. But that's the tragedy of it. They themselves didn't realize. In fact, do you know what the word Sivlois can be translated as? We translate it as sevel, pain. We know from Ivrit as well, modern Hebrew, sovel means to bear. Sassema says a very frightening thing. I'm going to release them from Sivlois Mitzrayim. Do you know what the problem is? They can now bear Mitzrayim. If they couldn't bear it, they would be in better state, but they've become used to it already. And if you look in Parshas Shemot, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Zayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's it. I'm going to release Klal Yisrael. Why? Ki yodati es machoivav, because I know their pain. I know their pain. Says the Beis HaLevi there, on occasion, A person can be in pain, as we mentioned before, and not himself realize it. He says you can have somebody who's tremendously wealthy and he loses all his money. Initially, terrible suffering, but eventually he gets used to it. This is his new way of life, of poverty, and he doesn't feel the pain anymore. He says, so too, Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, most of them didn't know. Ma'alosom ha'gedoyla. They didn't know the extent of what they can reach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what it means. Ki yodati es machoivav. I know their pain, meaning, but they themselves don't. That's the tragedy. Because ve'einom tzayakim, says the Beis Halevi, they're not crying out as a result of their decline in ruchnius. Rather, as the Torah describes, just because of the hard work. I know their pain. And if they don't know their own pain, that itself is a reason to cry. That itself is the greatest tragedy. There is, of course, a very famous story. We mentioned it in the past. When in 1967, when the coastal was recaptured, and Klal Yisrael for the first time in years and years and years were able to descend and daven the Mokam HaMikdash for the first time in decades. So the story is told of this totally irreligious soldier who's watching all the dramatic and emotional scene unfold in front of his eyes. As thousands descended for the first time to the coastal HaMaravi, to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And amidst all the emotion and the drama, he himself burst into tears. So a fellow soldier says to him, he says, I don't understand, why are you crying? You don't daven anyway. These people are religious and they daven, and clearly this place is very meaningful for them. And that's why it's very emotional for them, and that's why they're crying. But why are you crying? And he answered back, he said, the reason why I'm crying is because I don't really know what you're supposed to cry about, and that's why I'm crying. Rahmona Litzlan, imagine if you'd hear of a young mother who passes away and leaves young children, a husband, and you walk into the house to be Menachem Oval at the Shiva. And you see the young husband who has just become a widower. And you see the children sitting shiva. What's the most emotional, what's the most heart-wrenching moment? It's not when you see that husband. And it's not when you see the children. It's when you see the three-year-old in the corner playing with his Lego, blissfully unaware of what's happened to him. Totally unaware that he's never going to know his mom. That's the most sad moment, because there's so much pain that he himself doesn't know it. That's what this soldier was saying. I'm crying because I don't really know what you're supposed to cry about. And that's what the Ksav Sefer is saying. That's why Yosef cried. Yosef cried because all these years that I missed, or I should have missed, my father, my Rebbe, my brothers, the Shvatim, and I didn't miss it. I was all too comfortable here in Mitzrayim. And that's a comparison to eventual the Geula. May it be b'mehir v'yomeinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the Mashiach, and then we look back and we say, did we really miss this? Were we really waiting for the Mashiach? Or we were very comfortable? You know, the Chofetz Chaim once met somebody and he said to him, tell me, are you an honest person? He said, I think so, as far as I'm concerned, yes. He says, you always tell the truth, you have a lie? Not knowingly, no. He says, well, you say every Shabbos morning in Kedusha. You say, Minkoim chal malkeinu seifia, v'simloi chaleinu, please, reveal yourself, become our melech, ki mechakim anachnu loch, because we are waiting for you. Are you, asked the Chofetz Chaim? Are you really waiting? Because if you're not, then how can you say you're honest? You're not really waiting. You're very comfortable in dollars, actually. You say the words because that's what's printed in the Siddur. And you're a religious Jew and you daven. But are you an honest religious Jew? Are we really waiting for the Geula? Or are we all too comfortable in dollars? Sometimes there's a situation of Ki yodati es machoivav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can feel their pain. but they themselves don't know it, and that's the greatest tragedy. When we have, until this very day, so many thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Achenu Bnei Yisrael, here in Eretz Yisrael, in America, in Europe, wherever it may be, who are living totally secular lives, irreligious lives, and many of them indeed are unaware. That's the greatest tragedy. The tragedy is that they don't themselves know their own pathetic situation, being so cut off and far and removed and distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Torah and from mitzvahs. That's the greatest tragedy. But we don't need to go as far as them. Ourselves, stop and think every so often. We don't necessarily need to wait till Tammuz and Chodesh Av to mourn the Beit HaMikdash. Shulchan Aruch and Siman Aleph says that Yorei Shemayim should mourn the Beit HaMikdash constantly, every single day. Because if not, as we mentioned, this is what the Beis HaLevi says. Ki Yodati es Machoivav. I know their pain. The question is, do they know it? Or is it Sivlois that we can already bear Mitzrayim, we can already bear the Golos? Point well worth thinking about.
Yeah.